الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد This evening we take another principle from the fundamentals of the chapter of buying and selling and the people of knowledge they mention الأصل في البيوع خيار المجلس الأصل في البيوع خيار المجلس That the fundamental principle And buying and selling is that there is the option and choice for each party to either continue with the contract or to nullify it, or to nullify it. The issue is called al-khiyar, al-khiyar. ومعنى هذه القاعدة أن القاعدة المستمرة في البيوع أنه يلحقها الخيار. What is intended from this is that the established principle in the rulings of buying and selling or in the contracts and the contracts of buying and selling is that there is the option to continue with the contract or to nullify it. So the people of knowledge, as they mentioned here, الخيار هو طلب خير الأمرين في العقد من الإمضاء أو الفسخ. الخيار هو طلب خير الأمرين في العقد من الإمضاء أو الفسخ. That الخيار, what is intended here? What is intended here is that a person, he will look for the best of the two affairs and the best or most beneficial of the two affairs in the contract, whether he will continue and make the contract binding or whether he will nullify the contract and not proceed, meaning he will have a period where he has a choice. There's a period where the person, he will have the choice. It's called al-khiyar. الخيار. The verb is اختار يختار اختار اختيارا واسم المصدر الخيار الخيار person he will choose the two affairs that is in his best interest with regards to the contract whether he wants to proceed and make the contract binding and finish the deal or if he would like he has the option likewise to nullify the contract and to not proceed والخيار يكون لكل من البائع والمشتري يعني الخيار أن يكون لكل من البائع والمشتري الحق في إمضاء عقد البيع أو فسخه يعني this is what is intended that the choice here الخيار what is intended that every person that each individual the buyer and the seller the seller and the buyer both of them they have the right Both of them, they have the right to either continue with the contract and make it binding or to nullify it. So in these contracts, in buying and selling, the original, the fundamental principle is that once they're established, they become binding. If a person, he offers to sell an item for such and such price and a person, he sees the item and he agrees on that price and they agree on that, then this is a contract that initially becomes binding. And these type of contracts here and these dealings, the ownership will trade hands. The item will go to the hand of the purchaser and the money and the cost of that will go to the hand of the seller. And the ownership of these affairs will change. And this is from the outcome of the contract whenever it's established. So this is the fundamental principle. Whenever the conditions are met and the requirements are established in the contract between the buyer and the seller, then that contract becomes binding. It's not allowed to back out once it's been established and once it's been affirmed. But the legislation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is based upon mercy and it's based upon ease. And likewise, looking into the best interest of the people. So the legislation has given the person a choice and an option or a time period has given the person buying and selling a leeway or a time period whenever they have the option to either continue with the dealing or to nullify it. Because sometimes maybe a person, he will sell something hastily or he'll purchase something hastily. And then moments later, whenever he really thinks about the situation, he doesn't want to sell it or he doesn't want to buy it or he really can't afford it right now. And the likes like this, and maybe he'll regret any just moments later for selling the particular item or maybe he will regret just moments later for purchasing the item, so on and so forth. And there's other circumstances where this issue will come, where this issue will be applied. The issue of al-khiyar, the issue of al-khiyar. So the legislation has placed this and established this in the chapter of buying and selling, and this is a fundamental principle. But their rulings and regulations, but their rulings and regulations with regards to this. Their rulings and regulations with regards to this. And the people of Nan, as they mentioned here in the chapter of buying and selling, al-khiyaru lahu sab'atu aqsam. Al-khiyar lahu sab'atu aqsam. That this issue of al-khiyar, that the person is given the choice. The khiyar, meaning he's given the choice whether he wants to proceed and make the contract binding or he wants to invalidate it. He wants to invalidate it. And he, meaning this is after the contract has already been established. After they have already agreed on a price and it's been purchased. Still, after this, there's a period where they both have a choice, So this is what we're discussing now. Not somebody's coming asking for the price and he's thinking about, does he want to buy it? No, he asks for the price. He agrees on the price, he pays for it. He asks about the price. They agree on the price. He pays for it. It's his now. Still, there's a period here where both of them have the choice. Do they want to actually proceed with that, or would they like to nullify that contract? So this is what we're discussing here when we say al-khiyar. So it has seven aspects. The people of knowledge, they say it has seven aspects or seven types. Seven aspects of how it is applied. We mention all of them briefly and then take them one by one. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So the first one, khiyarul majlis. The first one is called khiyaru al-majlis. Al-majlis meaning at the time of the contract, the time and the place of the contract. So a person, he has the khiyar at the time and the place of the contract. It's called khiyaru al-majlis. Again, we will discuss, inshallah, each one of these in brief detail. The second one is khiyaru al-sharut. Khiyaru al-sharut. That is the choice that's based upon a condition. Meaning that a person, he will make a condition that he would have a choice for a certain period. Number three, khiyaru al-ghabn. This means a person, he has the choice. He has the choice for al-ghabn. Al-ghabn yani al-ghish or khadi'a. If he's been taken advantage of, then he has the choice. Likewise, the details will come in, inshallah. Number four, khiyaru al-tadlis. This is whenever he has a choice because he's been deceived. There was something that was hidden from him, and the item, and the likes like this, and this is found out later after he obtained it, so on and so forth. There's a choice here, whether he wants to continue or whether he wants to nullify the contract. Again, there's details in each one of these affairs. Number five, khiyaru al-aib. This is the choice because of a defect, a choice that one has because of a defect. And there are many aspects with regards to this, and many times these affairs, they occur in these days. A person, he will purchase something and find out later that it has a defect. So here we have al-khiyar. So number six, there is khiyar al-khulfi. Khiyar al-khulf fi sifa. Yani al-ikhtilaf fi sifa. This is whenever a person, he has a choice based upon the fact that the description of the item does not match. And whenever he received the item, the description that was given to him is not the same as the item that he received. So this is called khiyaru al-khulfi fi sifa. And then the seventh and the last aspect of al-khiyar. Here, khiyaru al-khulfi fi qadri al-thaman. The last aspect of al-khiyar is khiyaru al-khulfi fi qadri al-thaman. Yani al-ikhtilaf. This is whenever there's a difference, dispute arising about the price or the cost of the item. So these are the seven aspects that we will discuss bi-idhnillahi ta'ala in this fundamental principle. Al-aslu fil buyu'i khiyaru al-majlis. So the first aspect of this is khiyaru al-majlis. Al-Majlis. What is intended by Al-Majlis? Any the place, the time and the place of the contract. So long as they are still in the place of the contract, any at the time of making that contract, then they both have Al-Khiyar. This is what is intended. خيار المجلس هو المكان الذي يجري فيه التبايع. It is the place, خيار المجلس, the majlis, this is what is intended here, is the place that the contract and the transaction is happening. The place that the contract and the transaction is happening. And in regardless of whether they're sitting or standing, we shouldn't be confused with the word majlis. It doesn't mean julus here. It means the place. Majlis, makan al-julus. يعني مكان الاجتماع. This is what is intended here. Al-majlis is the place where they have come to meet in order to perform the contract. فيكون لكل واحد من العقيدين الخيار ما دام في مجلس العقد ولم يتفرقا منه. So each one of them, the buyer and the seller, they will both have the choice to continue with the contract or to nullify it so long as they remain together in the place where the contract was established. And the place where the contract was established, and they did not separate from each other. And they did not separate from each other. So just to summarize here, if a person here were to sell, for example, his phone in his store. He sold a phone in his store. So now the majlis is the store. Or if he were to sell his phone in his house. So now the majlis is the house. So the majlis, what is intended here, is the place where the contract is being made. If he comes to the store or he goes to the house and they make the deal and they agree on the phone and all the conditions and requirements are met and it takes place and the transaction takes place. So long as he's in the store or so long as he's in the house, so long as they're still together in the place where the contract was made and where the transaction happened, they still have the choice, even though the exchange was made. Even though the exchange was made. He made the exchange, he gave him the money, and he gave him the phone. He gave the owner the money, and the owner gave him the phone. The exchange took place. Initially, it's binding, right? But because of the legislation looks into these affairs, is based upon mercy and ease and facilitation, there's an option here still. There's an option here still, so long as they do not separate from each other. So long as they do not separate from each other. This is the opinion of the majority of the scholars, and the evidence for this is the first narration that is mentioned by the author in Umdad al-Ahkam. And there's two narrations actually, and we discuss them inshallah soon when we begin reading the narration of Abdullah ibn Umar and likewise the narration of Hakim ibn Hizam radiyallahu anhum. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned in these narrations, here we have the summarized narration of Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhum al-Bayyani. البيعان بالخيار ما لم يتفرقا. The بيعان يعني البائع والمشتري بالخيار ما لم يتفرقا. The two people involved in the contract, the buyer and the seller, they have the choice so long as they do not separate from each other. So long as they do not separate from each other. So this narration has a number of different wordings and it has additions like this. And this is summarized. And some of these additions, we discussed them يعني بإذن الله تعالى, and we will discuss them in more detail whenever we begin reading the narrations of عمدة الأحكام في كتاب البيوعي بإذن الله تعالى. So this is the evidence for this, and this is something that is established. So now someone may say, ما زمن خيار المجلس? How long does the choice last? So how long does the choice last? يعني we understand the choice that he has now, so long as they're together in the gathering, that contract occurred and the transaction occurred. So how long would it last? How long would it last? The people of knowledge differed about this, and Allah knows best. It lasts so long as they're together in that gathering or in that place. So long as they're together in that gathering, in that place. Maybe it'll be 5 minutes and maybe it'll be longer than that. Maybe it'll be 5 minutes and maybe it'll be longer than that. Maybe it will take place in just moments and they will leave. He'll come and purchase the phone and he will give him the money and the contract will be established and he will leave. And he will leave. He leaves out the door and he goes about his way. Now the option is finished. Now the option is finished. It just takes moments. Maybe they're traveling together. For example, on an airplane overseas and they're sitting together. And he offers to sell him his phone on the plane. He says, okay, I'll buy it. And the transaction takes place on the plane. And they're stuck together for the next 9 hours, 10 hours, 11 hours. The whole time, the option still remains. The option still remains. So long as they are in the gathering place that the transaction occurred. We understand. This is what is intended. So there's no limit to that. So long as they remain together. So long as they remain together. Another question may come about likewise, كيف يحصر التفرق? What is considered separating? What is considered separating? What would be considered that they had separated? For example, if they're on the airplane and they make the transaction and one of them gets up and he goes to the restroom, أكرمكم الله, would this be considered separating? And would this be considered separating? So the people of Nahr, as they mentioned here, is that it goes back to the customs. It goes back to the customs, what the people consider to be separating. So if you're riding on a plane today, do you consider yourself together with the people on the plane until you get off? Yes, you consider yourself on the plane with the people until you get off. Even if he's in the back seat, you're in the front seat. You would say, I rode on the plane all the way overseas with the brother. All the way overseas with the brother, we're together. We're together on the trip all the way there. We're together on the trip all the way there. He's in the front seat, you're in the back seat, for example. So you don't consider yourself separated from him. So here, because there's no clear evidence in the Quran and the Sunnah establishing that period or that establishing the period that had preceded or the manner of how the separation occurs, there's nothing in the Arabic language to clarify that likewise. Here we go back to the fundamental principle that we referred to in the previous classes from those five, Al-Qawa'id Al-Fiqhiyya Al-Kubra. Al-Qawa'id Al-Fiqhiyya Al-Kubra. We discussed one of them that was related to our transaction. What was that? Al-darar yuzal. Al-darar yuzal. Harm, it must be removed. That harm, it must be removed. This is the one that we discussed. The one that we're discussing here is the principle al-adatu muhakkama. Al-ada muhakkama. Al-urf muhakkam. Meaning the customs of the people is taken as a judge in these affairs. Where there's no evidence to establish it from the Quran or the Sunnah, and nor is it understood in the Arabic language, it will go back to the customs of the people to identify that and to set the limit with regards to that. To set the limit with regards to that. So the people of Nahr, as they mentioned, Al-Imam al-Sa'di rahimahullah in his poetry, وَالْعُرْفُ مَعْمُورٌ بِهِ إِذَا وَرَدَ حُكْمٌ مِنَ الشَّرْءِ الشَّرِيفِ لَمْ يُحَدْ. That the urf is applied whenever there is a ruling in the legislation that is not, that its limits are not set. That its limits are not set. And the limit is not set in the Quran and the Sunnah, nor in the Arabic language, so it goes back to the customs. So it goes back to the customs. الْعُرْفُ مَعْبُورٌ بِهِ إِذَا وَرَدْ حُكْمٌ مِنَ الشَّرْعِ الشَّرِيفِ لَمْ يُحَدْ. حُكْمٌ مِنَ الشَّرْعِ الشَّرِيفِ لَمْ يُحَدْ. So this is the issue here. It goes back to what the people consider separating. So, for example, if he purchased in the store, if he went into his store and then he purchased in the store and then he went to the side and sat down, but he's still in the store, would this be considered that they have separated in our customs today? Or would he say that he's still there? Huh? He's still there. He's still there. The customs of today, they would say that he's still there. As for if he went into a store and then he walked out and he went around the corner. He walked out and went around the corner and went to, for example, the store around the corner and bought something to drink. Now, he left. And the urf that we have today, we would consider that he left. He walked out the store entirely and he went about his business. He went about his business. So then this is how this is considered. It's considered the tafarruq. And in the hadith, what does it say? Al-bayyani bil-khiyari. مَا لَمْ يَتَفَرَّقَا. That the buyer and the seller, they have the choice, خِيَارُ الْمَجْلِسِ مَا لَمْ يَتَفَرَّقَا. So long as they did not separate from each other. So long as they did not separate from each other. So that period remains, so long as they did not separate from each other. What is considered separating from each other? What will identify that? The customs of the land. The customs of the people. Do they consider that separating or not? And if there's a dispute, we'll take it back to the urf. That's the meaning of the qaida. Al-ada muhakkama. And yuhakkam ilayha. So the urf will be the judge in this affair. The urf will be the judge in this affair. The urf, yani the customs. The urf, they say the urf or the ada, meaning the customs. Meaning the customs. So also there's another question. How yujuzu isqatu al-khiyar? How yujuzu isqatu al-khiyar? Is it allowed to drop the choice, to overlook the choice, to say, I do not want it, to say that I do not want the choice, and is this allowed? You understand? The origin is that you have the choice. Is it allowed for one of them to say, I don't have the choice, or for both of them to say, we have no choice. Once we purchase it, there's no choice. Is this allowed? Is this allowed? The people of Nahr, as they mentioned, yes. So if one of them, if both of them, they say, we purchased the item here, but the contract, there's no choice. And they say, okay, and they agree upon that, there's no choice. There's no choice, even if they're still together. Because they had what's the word called? Tanazala. Tanazul. Yani each one of them gave up the right to give up this right. To give up the right of having the choice. If they give up the right of having the choice, then this is accepted. Is it allowed for one of them or both of them to give up the right of this choice? Yes, this is allowed. Yes, this is allowed. This is allowed. It's allowed for both of them to do that, or even one of them to do that. One of them maybe who will say, for example, the buyer. He says, once I buy, that's it. I don't have no choice. Once you buy it, that's it. I don't have no choice. He'll give up his option. This is allowed. And likewise for the one who's purchases it. Likewise, and he will say, if I buy it, I don't have no choice. And he meaning that, and he doesn't have the choice. But the other one, he still has the choice. So if they both agree to overlook the choice, to overlook the khiyar, it's lawful. Or if one of them wanted to do that, meaning I'm certain now, I'm selling it now, I don't want it back. I don't want a choice. It's a done deal on my side. It's a done deal on my side. It's allowed for him to do that. But the other side still has the khiyar. The other side still has the choice. So likewise, this is established in Al-Bukhari and Muslim. From the same narration, another wording, and with an addition to that, from Ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, بَيِّعَنِي بِالْخِيَارِ مَا لَمْ يَتَفَرَّقَا أَوْ يَقُولَ أَحَدُهُمَا لِصَاحِبِهِ اخْتَار. That the بَيِّعَن, the buyer and the seller, they have a choice, so long as they did not separate from each other. أَوْ يَقُولُ أَحَدُهُمَا لِصَاحِبِهِ اخْتَار. Or that one of him will say to the other one, you choose now. Choose now, do you want to continue or not? Any meaning that the choice has been given to him, that the choice has been given. He'll choose now, do I want the choice or do I not want the choice? So this is something that is allowed. فَدَلَّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ خِيَارُ الْمَجْلِسِ يَقْبَلُ الْإِنْقِطَاعَ بِالْإِخْتِيَارِ. So this narration here clarifies the permissibility that this option here in the gathering is in the hands of the buyer and the seller. He has a choice. If he wants to take that advantage, he can take that. If he doesn't want to take that, he can mention that in the contract in the very beginning. He can mention that in the contract in the very beginning. We have another question that may come to your minds. هل يجوز لأحد الطرفين أن يخرج بقصد قطع الخيار ولا غرض له دون ذلك ولا غرض له دون ذلك. Is it allowed for one of the two people to leave intentionally in order to prohibit the other from having the choice? In order to prohibit the other from having the choice. He has no intention from leaving the gathering except to establish the contract. Except to establish the contract and make it binding. Except to establish the contract and make it binding. He really wants the item, or he really wants to sell the item. And the contract goes down, and now to make sure that it doesn't go back and it's not nullified, he will leave quickly. He will leave quickly. Not with the intention to leave and take care of any business, not because he has a need to initially take care of, but because he wants to make the contract binding and thus prohibit the other from having his choice so long as they're together. So long as they're together. Is this allowed? From what you learned so far. From the war. But he has bad intention, right? He's taking his right. And the people of knowledge, actually, they differed about this issue because of some of the narrations that have come. So there's a narration authentically on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbidding this. And then there are two narrations from Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, the one who narrated this narration himself, that he would do that. And the narration from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is considered marfu', is found in Tirmidhi and in Sunan Abi Dawood and other works. And it's declared to be hasan. It's declared to be hasan, meaning it's accepted. It's accepted. It's an authentic narration that is reported authentically on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As for the athar of Ibn Umar, which this portion here is mawquf. Mawquf, because it's from the action of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. This is what he used to do whenever he would buy and sell, is that if he purchased something that he liked, he would leave or move over a little bit in order to make the contract binding. And this is found in Bukhari and Muslim. And this is found in Bukhari and Muslim. Remember al-hadith al-marfu' wal-hadith al-mawquf wal-hadith al-maqtu'. Remember these affairs? Al-hadith al-marfu' ما أضيف إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من قول أو فعل أو تقرير أو صفة خلقية أو خلقية. Al-hadith al-marfu', the narration that's called marfu', this is a narration that's ascribed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from his statements or actions or that which he affirmed. Or from his characteristics, from his physical characteristics or his manners. This is called hadith al-marfu'. This is the hadith that we know when we say hadith. But also there's another hadith that's called mawquf. وَمَا أُضِيفَ إِلَى الصَّحَابِي مِنْ قَوْلٍ أَوْ فِعْلٍ أَوْ تَقْرِيرٍ. And this is what is ascribed to a companion, from statement or action, or affirmation. So there's a difference between the statement of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the statement of one of the companions. And there's a difference between the action of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the action of one of the companions. You understand this? So that which is ascribed to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam is called marfu'. Marfu' means raised. It's high and lofty because of the high and lofty status of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the action or statement that's ascribed to a companion is called mawquf. Mawquf. Yani mawquf because it stopped. It didn't reach that high and lofty status. And there's another narration called maqtu'. Maqtu' yani quti'a. And this is ma udhifa ila at-tabi'i fama dunahu. من قول أو فعل. That which is ascribed to a tabi'i and those after them. This is called maqtu'. From the beneficial statements of al-Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah. That's called hadithun maqtu'. From the beneficial statements of like Umar, for example. A statement of Umar radiyallahu anhu. One of his statements. Or a statement of Ali radiyallahu anhu, for example, that he made. Or an action like here of Ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu. His action that he did himself. That's called mawquf. And as for that which is ascribed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma udhifa ila an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam min qawlin aw fi'lin aw taqririn aw sifatin khuluqiyya aw khilqiyya, then this one is called marfu'. So if we have a marfu' and a mawquf, what do we do? Which one takes precedence? That's not hard to understand, right? But some may say here, the mawquf is in Bukhari and Muslim, and the marfu' is in Sunan Abi Dawood and Tirmidhi and Musnad by Imam Ahmed, for example. So which one is stronger with regards to the chain? The athar, the mawquf is stronger, no doubt, because it's in Bukhari and Muslim. But which one is higher? The marfu'. So even though the marfu' here is considered hasan and it's not of the strength of the mawquf, it takes precedence. That understood? It takes precedence. Why? Because it's the statement of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the people of knowledge, they mention the narration al-bayyani bil-khiyari ma lam yatafarraqa illa an takuna safqata khiyar wa la yihillu lahu an yufariqa sahibahu khashyata an yastaqila. This narration here is from the narration of Abdullah ibn Amr, but it's a chain from Amr ibn Shu'aib and Abihi and Jaddihi. This chain is very well known. Amr ibn Shu'aib and Abihi and Jaddihi. And the benefit of learning this is that this is called a Nuskha, and it's from a Nuskh al-Hasana. So this chain here is automatically known that it's Hasana. So this narration is Hasan. Is from Amr ibn Shu'aib an Abihi an Jaddihi, yani an Abdullah ibn Amr radiyallahu anhuma. He said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, al-bayyani bil-khiyar ma lam yatafarraqa illa an takuna safqata khiyar. That the buyer and the seller, they have a choice so long as they do not separate, unless it is a choice, a condition that they make. Meaning indication to khiyar al-shart that we're going to take next, inshallah. Meaning that a person, he can make a condition where the khiyar lasts longer than the majlis. And there's details with regards to this one too. But the shahid here is that he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَا يَحِلُّ لَهُ أَن يُفَارِقَ صَاحِبَهُ خَشَّةَ أَن يَسْتَقِيلَ. And it's not allowed for him to go away from his friend And the one who is in the dealing with him afraid that he will nullify the contract. So this is collected by Abu Dawood and Tirmidhi and likewise An-Nasa'i and Imam Ahmad. And as we've seen, it's Hassan. So here it's clear. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, وَلَا يَحِلُّ لَهُ أَنْ يُفَارِقَ صَاحِبَهُ خَشَيْتَ أَنْ يَسْتَقِيلَ يعني أن يَفْسَحَ الْأَقْدِ. يعني it's not allowed for him to go away from his partner and end the transaction afraid that he will nullify the contract. And he wants the contract to happen. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam forbade this. This is clear? Forbade this. So now we go back to the wording of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. And it's mentioned that in this wording, in Nafi', he would say that the one of the narrators that narrates on Ibn Umar is Nafi', and then he would add an addition after the narration of Ibn Umar, a portion about Ibn Umar himself. And he would say, وَكَانَ إِبْنُ عُمَرْ إِذَا اشْتَرَى شَيْئًا يُعْجِبُهُ فَارَقَ صَحِبُهُ. And Ibn Umar, he used to, if he purchased something that he liked, then he would go away from his partner in the transaction. And meaning he would intentionally leave him and get away from him in order to make the contract binding. If he purchased something that he liked, then he would purchase it initially and then immediately separate from him, with the intention of applying the narration that he's narrating. That is مَا لَمْ يَتَفَرَّقَا فَيُفَرِّقُهُ حَتَّى يَثْبُتْ الْعَقْدِ. So that أَوْ يَكُونَ لَازِمًا. So that the contract will be binding. This is the wording, this is in Sahih Bukhari. Another wording in Muslim, Nafi, he said, رحمه الله, فَكَانَ إِذَا بَيَعْ رَجُلًا فَأَرَادَ أَلَّا يُقِيلَهُ قَامَ فَمَشَى هُنَيْئَةً ثُمَّ رَجَعَ إِلَيْهِ. He said that Ibn Umar, if he sold something or he did a contract with somebody and he did not want him to nullify the contract, then he would take a few steps away from that gathering, away from that person, then he would come back. And in order to make the contract binding, So some of the people of knowledge, they looked at the narration of Ibn Umar, they mentioned that it's permissible. And others, they looked at the narration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and they mentioned that it's not permissible. So what is clear to you? It's not permissible. So even though the narration of Ibn Umar is in Bukhari and Muslim, and the narration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is in the other works that are not of that strength and authenticity, it's authentic though. It's an authentic narration. So the marfu' takes precedence. وَلَا تُقَدِّمُوا بَيْنِ يَدَيِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. You do not proceed in front of Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You don't say or order before He says and orders, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You go when He goes and you stop when He stops, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That which He allows, then you partake in that, and that which He forbids, then you refrain, regardless of who says it. So here, Allah knows best. The people of Nadas mentioned that most likely Abdullah ibn Umar, he was unaware of this narration. Had he been aware of this narration, he would not have done that. In any case, whenever there appears to be a contradiction between the narration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the narration of somebody else, then a believer, he will hold fast to the narration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, unless there's a way to understand both of them in a particular light. فالأثر عن ابن عمر رضي الله عنه أقوى سندا لكن المرفوع أعلى رتبة So the chain of the narration of Ibn Umar is stronger, but the narration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is higher and more lofty and takes precedence. And Allah knows best. So this is considered khiyaru al-majlis. The second aspect is khiyaru al-sharta. And this is whenever there is a condition that is set giving the person the choice. The people of knowledge, they say, هو أن يشترط المتعاقدان أو أحدهما. الخيار إلى مدة معلومة لإمضاء الأقد أو فسخه. And this is whenever the people involved in the contract, the buyer and the seller, or one of them, he will set a condition that he has a choice for a known period. for a known and a set period, whether he wants to continue and make the contract binding or he wants to nullify it, or whether he wants to nullify it. So if that period that is set comes and the contract was not nullified, it becomes binding whenever that period has finished from the time of the initial contract. If he says, for example, I want to purchase this phone, but you know, I need five days choice to think it over, to look into it, and the likes like this. He says, okay, you got it. So from that time, he'll give him the money, they'll make the contract, the transaction is finished. And then from that moment there, there's 5 days. So he has within that period, 5 days that they agreed upon. If he wants to bring it back, he can bring it back and get his money back. No blame and no problem. If he doesn't come back by that period, then it's established and the contract becomes binding. So if both of them, they said that, they both have the khiyar. And if both of them set a condition, they both have khiyar. But if only one of them sets the condition, then only one of them has the khiyar according to the condition. Yani the additional khiyar. The original khiyar is established, right? And the majlis, this is on top of that. So the majlis is at the time of the contract until they separate. This is an addition to that, a condition on top of that. No, not just only khiyar al-majlis, I want 5 days or longer or less according to what they agree upon. So if a person, he was going to purchase a car, for example, and then he says, but I want to have the choice. I want to have the choice for a month. For a month, it's allowed if they agree upon that. If the buyer, he says that, or if the purchaser, he says that, or both of them, they agree on that. They both have the choice. It's enough for a month, for an entire month. It's allowed. There's no set limit, but the condition is that the period is known. It can't just be like, oh, I have the choice like this. And it's just not mentioned. It's not mentioned. It's an unknown period. That's not allowed. The period for the choice and the condition that he's setting, it must be known. If they agree on it, 5 days, 3 days, or more or less and the likes like this, then that is established and it must be adhered to. It must be honored. There are some terminologies in this chapter that probably in the English language they have equivalents, but I'm not a businessman, so you have to be patient. Sometimes if you know the bank has terminologies, the financial terminologies in the English language, and maybe there are some terms, khiyar al-majlis, that will be the best translation if you can think of them, or you know them, then share them with us, barakallahu fikum. But, huh?
Like a 90-day guarantee.
I thought about that, but the word guarantee is called daman, al-daman. So the rulings of daman are slightly different. So I didn't want to use the word guarantee, but it's similar. But this is called the khiyar. You have the choice, even if there's nothing wrong with it. I don't want it no more. I just don't. You understand? So al-daman, the guarantee. Return policy. Khiyar. Return policy. This one is a good one. This one's close. Huh? What is it?
It's called buyer's remorse. You have 30 days to try.
Buyer's remorse.
This is
close too. Buyer's remorse, return policy. These ideas are very close. Buyer's remorse is close because this is what they mentioned. Maybe he will purchase it and then he regret that he bought it. He will purchase it and he really wants the thing that's right there, and then he gives this money for it, and then he realizes he really doesn't have the money for it. He needs to use the money for something else, so he'll regret. Buyer's remorse. This is a good one. Jazakallah khair. Khiyar al-majlis. Khiyar al-shart. Inshallah, we continue from here in our next class. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, khiyar al-shart. We don't have time to cover the information that we need to cover. And then we finish the rest of the aspects of al-khiyar, inshallah, and begin after that reading the narrations of Umdat al-Ahkam. In our previous class, the brother, he asked a question about the transaction we're discussing in Murabaha, whenever the person, he will sell, for example, a car with the original price known, with an additional price on top of that, which is profit, either a set amount or a set percentage of the price of the item, a set percentage of that in profit. What is the benefit of this? Why would one do this and not just sell it without having the Prophet known. Without having the Prophet known. You understand? So what is the advantage of having this type of transaction? So if a person, he owns items, then there's no need to do this type of transaction, murabaha. There's no this type of murabaha where the actual cost of the item is known and the profit that is made along with that is known. If a person, he owns the item, he'll sell it for the set price that he likes and in the reasonable market value. And then if they agree upon that, then alhamdulillah, and he sells it and he makes the profit and it's not known. But here the issue is that somebody is looking for an item that the person he doesn't have. For example, he wants to buy a car, but he wants to buy it in installments. So he'll go to somebody who will buy the car for him and then sell it to him in installments. So he doesn't have the car now. He doesn't have the car now. So in general, the price of the car is going to be known. So the person, he will say, I will buy the car and I will sell it to you in installments, but I want to make this much money profit, or this percentage of the price profit. You understand? So somebody, he wants to buy a car, he says, I want to buy a Honda, model this, model that, model that. And so, okay, those cars right now, these days, they cost $15,000. Okay, I'll buy the car, and I will sell it to you in installments, but it's going to be $16,000, for example, or $17,000 over a period of years, and this many years, and you're going to pay this many months. He says, okay. And they agree to do that without any obligations yet, and he goes, buys the car, and then he makes the contract. This is law. Now he will make marabaha. This is where this contract will come in neat. You understand? You understand? So now the person who's buying the car, he knows the original price and he knows the profit that the person is making and everything. And that's all set in the contract. Huh? And then the payments are set likewise. This is clear. This is clear. But he can't say, I want to buy the car. Say, okay, give me some money. Give me a down payment or sign a contract. Sign an oath. Like, he can't do none of that. He can say, I want this car and I'll pay for it in installments. He said, okay, I'll go buy it for you. And they make an agreement verbally, but there's no obligations and nothing is binding and they're still free to go their ways. He buys the car. He comes back. He says, you know what? I have the car now. Would you like to look at it? He said, yeah. And he looks at it. He says, okay, I would like to take it. Okay, on the condition of you pay this much money for this many months, so on and so forth. And they agree and they sign the contract on that. So it's okay. It's okay. This is the way to do that type of transaction where it's paid in installments without falling into violations. Understand? And that's the benefit of having that type of contract. Waleh? Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Any other questions or comments or corrections? Naam. Khiyar al-tadlis. Al-tadlis. Tadlis, yeah. من دلس يدلس دلس تدريسا the last one خيار الخلف في قدر الثمن خيار الخلف الخلف في قدر الثمن في قدر الثمن في قدر الثمن الخلف يعني الاختلاف في قدر الثمن in the amount. So maybe they will agree on a transaction and then agree on an amount, and then when it comes time to pay, they disagree on the amount. They disagree now. So, oh, I thought it was 10,000. So, no, it was 7,000. And then they disagree here. So now there's going to be a khiyar. There's details with regards to this. The sixth one before that was khiyar al-khulf fasifa. Fasifa in the trait or in the description. In description, he says you want to buy something. You see the picture. It says it's this model, and then when you get it, it's different. When you get it, it's different. Or you bought the car with this many miles. When you get the car, it has more, for example. Or you buy this model or this color or that color or this size or that size. And whenever you actually get it, it's not the way that you agreed. You agreed. So here there's a khiyar. There's khiyar. So this is the clarification of the vastness of the religion and how it encompasses the aspects of the human being. Alhamdulillah. And there's great details in all affairs of the human life, clarification and guidance to follow. Naam. خيار الشرط. خيار الشرط is هو أن يشترط المتعاقدان أو أحدهما الخيار إلى مدة معلومة لإمضاء العقد أو فسخه أو فسخه أو فسخه. You wrote it. جزاك الله خير. اللهم بارك. اللهم بارك. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.